is he?
I said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
But he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time.
Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
You can ask the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea.
Hallelujah.
By that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them and Pharaoh on their track. Oh, out of nowhere,
hallelujah,
God stepped in and cut a highway just like that. Thousand hungry souls he fed.
That's right.
On the banks of the river with two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle.
Glory.
He performed for the multitude. And what he did way back then, he'll do the same for me and you.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there
right on time.
He's an on-time God.
He's an on-time God.
An on-time God. Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me give you a testimony. This is from Brother Russ Berry in LaGrange, Georgia. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with AFib. The cardiologist put me on blood thinner. We were streaming the service when Brother Donnie said the healer came by. And I felt a small sensation and told my wife, God just healed me of the AFib. I wore a heart monitor for 2 days. The nurse called it on Friday with good news. Don't have to take the blood thinner anymore. I want to say thank you, Lord, and give God all the glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to.
Hallelujah.
But he'll be there right on time.
Yes, he's an on-time God. I
yes.
said he's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Praise. You love him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed the preaching of the word of the Lord last night? Are you glad you're a believer tonight, this morning? Isn't God good to us? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We've got several prayer requests. If you want to be seated for just a few minutes, we'll let you do that. And we'll there's a Not a stranger in our midst, but a young man has come back home. And Brother Jeff Snoggers, he's here with us in the service today. Praise the Lord. Brother Jeff and his family left here a few years ago to take a work over in Ohio, and the Lord has just blessed, but we're always glad to see him come back home. Now, you're not going back home. You're going back to where you live, but you're back home now, Brother Jeff. Praise the Lord, Brother Frank. Good. I didn't even see you last night, but it's so good to see Brother Frank in the service with us again this morning. Brother Frank Williams, God bless your heart, buddy. Praise the Lord. And Brother Gene and Sister Jane, God bless you. They just look good this morning, don't they? Praise the Lord. We're glad to have them in the service with us again this morning. Give them a nice hand. Our prayer requests, and Brother Jeff, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests this morning. I want to continue to pray for Sister Yvetta Collins. She's having severe back problems and very much pain, so we want to just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her and let her receive her healing. We know she's already been healed. May she just have faith of muscles that'll just reach out and take a hold of her healing. Amen. Sister Brenda Harmon has a need in her body. We want to pray for her today. Brother Fred turns in this testimony. I want to thank the Lord for touching my eyes last night. I was in tremendous pain from overwork. I was touched by his love, and I am proud to wear the chain about my neck from the King. So praise the Lord for his healing this morning. Amen. I want to remember my sister, Sister Lola. She is 89 and is in the hospital with pneumonia. Brother Carter Lawson sends that in, so we want to remember that prayer request. This is from Brother Mark and Sister Teresa Carter. We were weaning a group of calves that got out of the field and went into the mountains. It seemed impossible that we would ever get them back. I went up for prayer 2 weeks ago, and today every calf is back on the farm. We want to thank God that he worked everything out. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we just know that he's God, and he can do exactly what he wants to, when he wants to, any way he wants to. Amen. Brother Branham told that guy that time, he said, "You'll find your ponies. You'll find them." He's got a way of speaking to livestock, don't he? He certainly does. If he can speak to them, I know he can speak to us. Surely he can speak to us. Praise the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning. May God bless you as we offer our needs to the Lord. Could we stand to our feet? While we're thinking about it, we want to say this morning to all of our fathers that are here today. God bless you. God bless you for being a good father, a good daddy, and a good husband. God bless each and every one of you. Let's give all of our fathers a nice hand this morning. This morning, take us to the Lord in prayer. You glad to see this guy back in Tennessee today? Praise the Lord, buddy.
God bless you. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just give you greetings from the little church there in Logan. And appreciate all your prayers, because I know many of you have prayed for us for years and years and years. And you know, when I come back home, everybody always welcomes me, and I'm just so thankful to know that I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Wherever we go, we have that same feeling toward one another. You know, it's Brother Jim Whitson and I spoke years ago over the telephone, the first time I'd ever met the man, and he said something that's never, ever left my mind. We were just talking. We'd been talking about 45 minutes. I said, "Now, Brother Jim," I said, I'm a talker, and I'll talk to you all day. He said, "Well, Brother Jeff, I think it's that royal blood that flows through our veins." I've never forgot that, because there is a people that has a royal blood. Amen. It's not just any blood. It wasn't a blood that was just allowed to be upon the earth, but it's a very blood of God that flows through our veins. Amen. If they could take us all the way back, they'd find out our DNA would match his. Praise the Lord. Are you glad for that? It's wonderful to know that when you hold these requests before him, he said, "If you believe that you receive what you pray for, you'll have what you ask." Amen. Now, by revelation, you can believe that. Just to try to pump it up won't produce anything. But if you know him in that manner, then you should be more than happy to go boldly before the throne and bring all these requests into the presence of God, because some of these people, the move that will be made in their life will be because of the word that you spoke. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we stand here in your great presence this morning. Lord, it's such a privilege to be a Christian. Such a privilege to know you and the power of your resurrection. And then, Lord, we can take it even a step farther. Lord, we haven't come with just any word, but we have the word for our day, Lord. We have the word that you chose before the foundation of the world to manifest in this hour. And we so appreciate you for it, Lord. We believe that there was a people that has come in every age, and the prophet taught us that they had a portion of the word to fulfill. And Lord Jesus, we stand before you today as the people that are to fulfill the word for this day, the portion that we've been given. And Lord, help us, oh God, help us to feed upon this great message that you've given us, Lord, to feed upon these things, Lord, so that we can actually become the people that you wrote of in the book, Lord. We can become the very things that you said would be upon the earth in this day. There'd be a group of people, Lord, that when the enemy came in like a flood and brought all kinds of disease and sickness and things of that nature, that there'd be a group of people, an army of God that would be invincible, that could rise up, Lord, and they could cast out the evil that Satan had brought, because that was the word spoken for our day. It wasn't something particularly just written in the scripture, but our prophet spoke that for this day, that this people would raise up. Lord, they would be the final voice to a final age. And as we see the days approaching, Lord, we realize that those days are much, much shorter than they've ever been. We stand before you with these requests in our hands today. And Lord, I heard Brother Tracy Brizendine say one time when he came up to pray. He said, Lord, I don't know anything greater to do than to place these in your mighty hand, because you are more than capable of moving for each one of these. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, bind every demon power of sickness, Lord. Every devil that would try to hinder this service this morning, Lord. We ask you to just bless and anoint, Lord, as we create an atmosphere now. When our brother steps behind this pulpit, Lord, may we be in heavenly places at that time. Have your way today, Lord. Thank you for this privilege you've given us to be here. Now may we make the most of it and redeem this time today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we will receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor today in the service with us, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All those that will be streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements. We're going to sing. Ushers, go ahead. Where are they at? Somebody didn't bring the money bags, did they? All right. We'll get that going here just in a second. Brother Jim Babb wanted us to make this announcement. Now, I want you to listen carefully. The Red Cross has contacted me once again for a blood drive. We would like everyone that would be willing to donate to go into the library, give Brother Jim some feedback. Do you want to do it? Do you want to skip this year? Do you want to do it this year? Just go by the library after service this morning and let him know. That way he will know if there's enough interest to go with it, or we'll wait until a later time. But we need your feedback. If you're willing to do that, please just go by the library. It won't take you 2 minutes to do that. We'd appreciate it so much. Also, Sister Cindy says that there will be a choir meeting immediately after service over in the fellowship hall. That choir just gets better and better and better all the time, doesn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I noticed as Brother Jeff stood here this morning, it looks like he's gained a little weight. His hair's got gray. And he's went slick bald since he left. Don't worry about it. You was that way when you left. But I just said that. I know we don't care for me to say it. I just noticed him. I noticed all of us. I look at us, and you know what? This old body is aging. It's getting older every day that we live. I see some of you that when you come here, goodness gracious, you're just young people. And now you're old. And we're all getting old. But you know what? This inward man is renewing his strength and is renewing his youth every day that we live in this old world. We're here in Satan's Eden, but we're not of this world. Aren't you glad you got a better place to go? An immortal, immortal place that you'll never age. You'll never be sick. You'll never be sorrowful. You'll never have another tear, because he's going to come by and wipe them tears from your eyes. Are you glad you're going to that kind of a place? Shake hands with somebody this morning and tell them this. I love you, my gallant soldier. I love you, my gallant soldier. Play it. Somebody ought to testify.
Somebody ought to testify.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have a couple of songs this morning. Sister Cindy, Sister, your daughter, Anna, Sister Anna, and Brother Aaron and Sister Lindsay. If y'all will come onto the platform, get ready to sing for us. Let's sing this little chorus as they come this morning real quickly. Real quickly, come to the platform. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Church, our God reigns. Say it if you believe it. Throne. Give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand and you can be seated.
Oh, the blood of the Lamb. can it be that in my sin, yes, even then he shed his blood for me? Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. And what a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. And what a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even his words could never contain just how I have been blessed. In the winter, the flowers in spring, laughter of summer, and the changing of leaves. For food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. That can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, for ears that can listen, and eyes that have seen. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed.
precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good. Oh, so good. I have been blessed.
Oh, let's tell Him one more time.
Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Oh, precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Oh, my God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
I think we can all say amen to that, can't we? You can be seated. We got a baby to dedicate today. Matthew and Sister Roseanne will bring their baby girl. We'll dedicate her to the Lord today. Amen. Sing for us, Harry. She looks like a little flower this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Father, how we thank you today, Lord, for the great gift of life. Dear God, we are so appreciative in our hearts today for mothers and fathers who in this day of murder desire to bring children into the earth. We know, Lord, that our flag has been stained with the blood of many, many children whose lives have been taken because of parents or a single woman who did not want to give birth. Lord, we so appreciate those who desire to go through the pain, the labor, the difficulty, the strain, giving birth. And then the years and years of tutoring and teaching and training, the sleepless nights. Lord Jesus, I pray, you bless this mother and father. May you help them, Lord, that they can be able to bring up their little daughter in the fear of God. If time would tarry, that she'd be old enough to be able to know right from wrong. May the Spirit of God be able to move on her heart while she's young and tender, Lord, before the evil days come. Father, we ask your blessings on her. Keep her from the sicknesses and diseases so rampant in the day. We dedicate her little life to you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? What a great privilege it is for us. Brother Jeff, God bless you, buddy. Good to see you. It's been a long time. Amen. We're certainly happy to be in the presence of God again. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9. I greet each of you today in the name of the Lord, and those that are streaming the service and those that will be archiving it wherever you are in the different parts of the world. May the Lord bless you and help you and meet with you today as well. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Praise the Lord. And we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. As we pray, let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we have read today your great word. We thank you, Father, though it's a book of mystery to many, it is truly, truly so clear and plain once the Spirit of God begins to unravel the things that lay in your word. How we thank you for sending us a prophet in the last day, that we'd be able to take the word of God and make it more understandable to us. Most of us here today, Lord, we're not highly educated, polished type of people. We're not people that the majority of the world would ever even take notice when we come or when we leave. But yet, Lord Jesus, we have found favor in your eyes. And that's what matters to us more than anything else in the world. I pray that you'd take your word once again and speak to us today, Father. You see this prayer cross I have in my hand. You know the situation that it's involved in. I pray, dear God, that your anointing would just go with it, Lord. Does our hearts good to hear the testimonies of the living God that's among us? We thank you, Lord. May you speak to us your great word today, Father. May we be changed by what we hear. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look in verse 11, if you would. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, but the help of the Lord. This wedding night has now got to such a precious time where they are in the bridal chamber and the candle lights are flickering on the walls, and the maidens have already come in the afternoon and decorated the flowers, and the tables are all placed with fine delicacies of food and different types of meat and breads and dried fruits and raisins and nuts and some of the finest foods that you could be imagined that would be attainable in that day. The tapestries on the curtains and on the bedspreads and Persian rugs on the floor. Must have been a beautiful place to even look at and see, because this is a king. So he would have certainly had some of the finest housewares that you could imagine. But yet, none of those things are actually even mentioned in this Song of Solomon. He does not come in and say, oh, these curtains are so lovely. That rug, where did that rug come from? I wonder how long it took them actually to make that rug. Being made in Persia and being handmade and the wool all being hand spun, it must have been 2 to 3 years. Those of you that have ever looked at any of those rugs, depending on what size that you're looking at, some of them, I've been in the Orient and the different places there and see some of those rugs that are made by hand, and it may take them a year, two, five, it just depends on the colors, the multiplicity of the colors and the design and the style. You may wind up paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in our money today for one, because it's been a person who's given 5 or 6 years of their life to be able to hand make all of this. Now you can go down to Lowe's and you can get one where it looks very, very similar, but it's not made by hands, it's made by a robot, or it's made by a machine. And you're pretty much going to get what you pay for. But here they are all surrounded by all these beautiful things, and yet neither him nor her even makes mention of what is there. Why? Because their focus is on each other. Now, truly, we live in a beautiful world. Many of you have nice things around your life. We choose to put nice things around us, and we choose to have the nicer things of life, vehicles and homes and clothes and cars and on and on and on and on. And I'm afraid sometimes that we focus more on that than we do the person of the resurrection, our Redeemer. I think sometimes that people come to church with that in mind. Did you notice what so-and-so had on today? I went to Asheville to buy a dress so nobody in the church would have one like mine. And wouldn't you know, so-and-so wound up with mine. Did you notice, brother so-and-so, he had on your tie? No, really, I didn't notice. I was so busy feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I couldn't tell if he had on a tie or no tie or whatever kind of tie he had on. So, you know, there's something about us, being that we are still remaining in this carnal element, that it can certainly be able to be noticeable by these carnal things. But this is not what they're focusing on. Now, I want you to notice how that he's looked at her eyes, he's identified her hair, he's looked at so many things about her and described, and he's mentioned about her mouth, but now he comes to her lips, and he says, "Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb." Now watch, here is Solomon, and maybe he has her by the hand, and he's noticed her hair as being very black, and black as the goats that stand upon the mountain, and he's looked at different parts of her and identified. But I want you to notice now, not so much just because of color or because of shape, but because of the content that comes from her lips is now the adjective that he's going to use to describe her. So just looks alone is not enough. Now watch what he says. "Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb." Look at this Hebrew word. It is nataf, and it means to drop or drip, prophesy, preach. So the real bride believes in preaching. I about had a spell this morning when I found that. So her lips actually drop as the honeycomb. So here he is taking now Solomon. Remember, this was a man of such great wisdom and understanding. But he was also relating to her in a way that she would be able to be identified. Remember the words that he uses is goats and sheep and lights and mountains and Hermon and Shinir and all this. So it's words by which she can become very comfortable in this wedding night. Now he could have talked of great things. This was a man of very great wisdom and very great understanding. Read Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and you'll find what an intelligent man that he was. But what we see in this Song of Solomon is a condescending of this bridegroom coming down to the bride's level so she would feel more comfortable at the wedding night. Don't we hear our Father doing exactly the same thing? So here he relates now one of the great mysteries of life, which is the honeybees and the honeycomb. Those of you that have studied them, you know it's a marvelous thing. Even the scripture relates to the bees and all that, and how they're able to go in and by design how that they make their comb. And you know, they could have chose squares on the inside, they could have chose triangle, but they chose the hexagon, which is the quickest way to be able to warm up a hive, also the quickest way to cool it down, also the most of where you get amount of space. The hexagon shape by which each cell is made on the inside is a spot very, very great. It's even better than a rectangular or a square for conserving energy, for also storing space. And yet none of these little honeybees ever went to school to learn how to make this. None of them. There's no bee school as far as I know. Y'all ever seen a bee school anywhere? As far as I know, there's no bee high school, there's no bee college, and yet they're trained by God to be able to make this very great structure, which is absolutely overwhelming when you look at the structure itself. So no doubt she had seen her coming from this mountain country where she was from. She'd seen honeycombs, all different types. And many of the bees, of course, in different parts of Africa and in the Mediterranean, some of them build on the ground, some of them will build on rock faces, and they build in different places. Some of them will actually build in trees. And they will come and they will build and they choose their spot. And you imagine now Solomon, as he wants this to be set in such a parenthetical way to her, her to where she'll be able to relate and the focus. You see, the whole thing is her being able to change her thinking about herself. In order to bring her to the spot to where she can be able to see what value that she has in his eyes. As we looked at last night, the woman who had brought the alabaster box and anointed the Lord Jesus and washed his feet and cried and all that and dried over them. Yeah, no doubt the woman fought this tremendous thing in her mind. How in the world can I even do this? How can I be worthy to do it? But you know what overrode her value of what she was thinking in herself was his need. His need was so much greater than what she felt like her inability to provide, but something actually contacted her from him that began to pulsate to her that he had given her the ability to meet his need. If you and I could realize that today, I guarantee you would pray, would praise, would come to church, would do everything so much more fervent than what we ever do it because the value of why we're doing it. And I remember the J.D. was talking about our service last night. He said, Brother Donnie, after hearing that, he said, it makes me just want to love him more and do more. And I said, Brother J.D., I agree with that. It does make you want to do more. But I said, I think what the Lord is wanting to get to us is not just more, but the quality of what we have. Because if we're not careful, we'll get in the mindset, well, I've got to pray more, I've got to read my Bible more, I've got to do more. And then we become so legalistic with the more that as long as we're doing the more, we feel good. But when days come when we can't meet that mark, then we don't feel good no more because we didn't do the more. But if we realize the value that we have to him, the value of our praise, the value of our praying, the value of all that we give him and know that what value that it means to him, and then the more comes generated from the value that we have, then we're not doing it out of legalism. Now he wants her to be able to see by nature and by how he is valuing this. Now you know that for many of these people, of course, honey was a great thing. Sugar, they did not have sugar, so to have sweetness in their diet was something very, very rare. Watch what he says now. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. So now the honeycomb is so full of honey that it is actually overflowing, and it's as if though that it's hanging up high, suspended in a tree or on the rock face or somewhere in a precipice where she would see it and walk by, and she would see the honey as it would ooze out of the comb. And he says, your lips are like that to me. Your lips. Now watch how he's drawing a parallel and telling her that thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. But drop with what? What's coming from her mouth? What is it that has such a value to him? Now remember, he is complimenting her, but he's also describing what she does for him. Amen. He's letting her know how she makes him feel. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Now, let's read a few scriptures, if you don't mind, about the lips. The lips are a very powerful thing in the scripture. Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now, you realize to a true believer in Christ Jesus, whenever they are actually giving back to God the fruit of their lips, from their lips is dropping the honeycomb or the language of Canaan. Remember, Canaan, in Canaan was a land flowing of milk and honey. So it is the language of Canaan by which he wants the bride to speak. So because of his loving kindness, David said, he said, my lips shall praise thee. Then from our lips drop praise and adoration. We could sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. We're going through this and that and the other. And you know what will happen? From your lips will drop defeat. It will drop sadness. It will drop feeling sorry for yourself. Come on, you might as well say amen. We've all been there and done that when we go through things and we don't understand why. And we go to questioning and whatever more. And from our lips begin to drop negativity. Before long, your mind will pick that up. Your subconscious will hear it. The man in the engine room will be begin to steer the ship, and you don't longer even feel saved. You don't know why you even go to church no more. And it come from where? Because from your lips begin to drop all this negative stuff. I've had so much trouble since I started serving God. I go through this, I go through that. Well, that may be so, but it depends upon what's going to drop out of your mouths, how much joy you're going to have in your life. Don't get in your mind today that you have as much joy as the Lord wants you to have. There probably ain't a person in this building, including me, that has as much joy and peace as what God wants me to have. A lot of it is not determined by Him. We have untapped resources that we have never broke into, but it is based upon us, and sometimes we just get lazy. That's right. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Can you imagine what kind of people we would be if from our lips oozed out the honey of the goodness of God? It just dropped out of us. Brother Louis didn't have to pump and pump and pump and pump, and the preacher didn't have to pump and pump, and you didn't do it just on Saturday night and Sunday morning, but you started doing it every day. As a matter of fact, when you get up in the morning, there ought to be a praise on your lips. There ought to be a praise on your lips. Hallelujah. When you're going through trials and tests and the difficulties of life, it ought to drop out of your mouth. Oh, glory. Psalm 63:5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Joyful lips. How many wants joyful lips? Joyful lips. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Can you imagine a man with intellect writing such a scripture that you're going to somehow teach your lips? Your lips ain't got no intelligence. Your lips has no reasoning power. Your lips has no ability to be able to put words together. It comes from the brain. But yet look, where is it coming from? You are going through the very process, and he says it addeth learning to the lips. Oh, glory. Verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Praise the Lord. Again, Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Some of y'all need to be a jewel mouth instead of a blabber mouth. Whichever one you want to be, it's up to you. You can be a blabber mouth or you can be a jewel mouth. You can be a negative mouth. Nothing ever happens to me, good mouth. I'm no good mouth. I ain't no count mouth. Or you can have a jewel mouth. Let your lips ooze out the goodness of God. Come on, saints, preach with me this morning. Oh, my, thy lips, oh, my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk, mama. You imagine now, her words, the words are sweetness and delight and pleasure. Sweetness and delight and pleasure. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. Lord, the speech that comes out of your mouth, it's like the language of Canaan. It is honey and milk. And what did the honey and milk do? The scripture said they was going to a land that flowed with milk and honey. Well, hallelujah. It wasn't hauled in by a truck. It wasn't pumped in by a preacher. It flowed out of the land itself. Amen. Oh, we all need a little bit of encouragement every now and then, but I think it ought to be as Jesus said in St. John 7:37, if any man believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. out of your lips, bride of Christ, should fall praise, adoration, good things. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've got so much bad going on. I understand that's the way life is. But you know what? A lot of it's going to depend upon how you take that trial you're going through. You can let it get you down. You can sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Or you can say, my God has promised me He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. That's when you can understand it. That's when you can't understand it. That's when the all things is good. That's when some of the things are bad. All things are working for you. You imagine the lips of the bride, the words that's coming out of her mouth. Oh my. It ought to be so sweet with honey. And it just drops. It just preaches. It just prophesies out of your mouth. Oh my. Honey and milk are under your tongue. Your eloquence, your speech is so divine, my love. I love hearing you talk. Can you imagine? This is the author of speech. This is the creator of words. The Almighty I'm talking about. And Him saying back to His bride, talk to me, sweetie. Talk to me, my wife. Talk to me, my darling. Because when I hear you talk, it's like honeycomb coming out of your lips. It's like the sweetness of honey. It's like the nutrients and the vitamins and the protein in milk. You are a perfect mixture of honey and milk. No, children, Jesus don't want a milk bass. He wants a milk mouth. He wants your words to come out of your mouth like the land of Canaan. I am an overcomer. I am a victor. I'm not barely making it. I've already made it by the grace of God. My. Come on, saints. Let's praise the Lord now. What is it? Milk and honey come out from under your tongue and your lips drop as the sweet honey out of the comb. This is our proper dialect around here. Canaan talk. Amen. A land of pleasantries. A land of language of the elect. The language of the predestinated. Notice this. Brother Bram says, oh, bless your heart. The church is eat up with spiritual venereal. All kinds of isms and everything else. Well, that's quite a statement for a prophet to say, isn't it? If she's eat up with it, that lets you know what she's been doing on the side. Now, she's been going to church every now and then, but she's been kind of fooling around on the side if she's got this, because Jesus don't have this. Jesus don't have this. So this didn't come from Jesus. It had to come from the devil. Watch, he goes on a little bit, and then he's going to offer prayer for the people there, and he's asking the people to raise their hand. And he said, I believe that God spoke to my heart while you were preaching, and I'm realizing I'm wrong. And I want to be a real, true Christian. I want to be a real lover. That when I go to my Lord and kneel on my knees, I want Him to embrace me in His arms and say, oh, my lover. Oh my. You remember Solomon, how he spoke of it? He said, come my love, let us walk through the pomegranates. Let us walk through the garden of spices. How he said her lips looked like rosebuds and so forth. How he loved his little wife. Just another quote to prove that it was not the shepherd that got her, but it was Solomon that got her. And said, come and let us go and take our fill of love. And when you get down to your altar to pray, is your heart so true and your soul so unadulterated that you can say, Lord God, let us take our love, and you say, yes, my lover, I love you? Or have you been committing fornication? Have you been flirting with the world? Oh, hallelujah. This is why some folks don't enjoy church. the world flirters. They don't understand Honey Mouse. They don't understand Jewel Mouse talking. They don't understand Canaan language talking. All they understand is going to the horse races or jumping up and down and getting drunk and shooting dope up in their veins, or, you know, getting on Facebook and ratting and raving about this and that. And the other ain't read their Bible in 6 months. Couldn't tell you how long it's been since they sat down and read 5 chapters, but they're addicted to Facebook. They get bumps and vibrations in church, and they can't stand it. They can't stand it. Sat there with their cell phone. They got to sneak their cell phone out and watch it and see who Facebooked him. You better put that thing in your pocket and leave it there. I'm going to have the deacons take it away from you. We're not here to read Facebook. We're not here to answer email. We're not here to answer text. We're here to worship the living God. We're here to have church today. Forget Facebook. Forget eBay. Forget all that sort of thing. Let's think about the living God. Amen. Let's call into the presence of the King and say, oh, my lover. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Now, unlike us today, the ancient people, those who were wealthy enough to do it, they loved having fragrant garments. Now, the poor people, of course, they smell too, like the barn, the pig trough, and all that sort of thing. So to have a fragrance, a pleasant fragrance about your person was a sign of your class. Woo, glory. Amen. You wouldn't even have to know their bank account. You wouldn't even have to know where they come from or whatever more. If they passed by and had a pleasant aroma about their person, you know that was a person of wealth, or that stole their master's perfume. Because it was a great thing of royalty and dignity. Now imagine, here he is. He's sitting with the little bride, and she's still nervous and jittery, and he's trying to calm her down by his words, and he's trying to get her to be able to inquire into what he's believing and seeing about her, and she's just struggling with her humanity. And now he says, oh, I love the way you smell. Is that not the fragrance of Lebanon? Yes, that's it. The odoriferous cedar, is it not? Lebanon was famous for its cedar trees. And the cedar tree, of course, is a tree of a cross. White wood, red wood. So here she sits at the wedding, the marriage, and he smells the fragrance of the cross. Oh. That don't smell like Laodicea. It ain't, sir. That don't smell like you've been to no honky-tonk. No, sir, I don't go to them places. That don't smell like you've been here and there. No, sir, this is the smell of the cross that you've got on my life. Oh, he says, your smell, my. He says, the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. So such is the bride that has on the robe of Christ's righteousness. As I mentioned last night at the end of the service, it is the robe of our elder brother that we are clothed with, as it was when Jacob come before his father in order to get the blessing of his elder brother. And the mother had kept the robe in a trunk or a chest, and they would keep it there with all types of embellishments around it, and they would put aloes and myrrh and cinnamon and all these different things. And when you would take it out and open the mystery of the chest, and then when you brought it out, not only did you have material, something in your hand, but something struck your nose. Oh man, you knew what it was. Hallelujah. He's sitting there, and she's looking across from him, and he says, oh, your eyes and your hair and your lips from
from your lips. And he says, oh yes, I smell the smell of Lebanon. Now what is the lips? Liz has an association with work, application, something she must do. What is he smelling upon her? The smell. Now it also is something she must do. These clothes don't smell this way by themselves. You wanna walk with God, there's things you're gonna have to do. God has paid a way for you. He's paid it in full, but you'll have to pray. You'll have to read your Bible. You'll have to put forth an effort. If not, you'll get nowhere with God. Amen. You want your lips to drop at honeycomb, feed on the word so you can talk the word. Oh my. Oh. Oh, he says your smell. Notice Psalms 45:6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. This is the king now. This reciprocates Psalms 45 with the Song of Solomon. Here is the king's smell. And all of a sudden he said, we smell alike. Now remember, the apothecary in the Old Testament, they was absolutely forbidden to make any perfume like that of the house of God. They was given the elements and they'd take so much of this and so much of that and so much of that, and they'd put it together and mix it together. And God said, don't you, none of you, make this in your own personal house. In order to smell like this, you got to go to the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you smell that smell, you knew they'd been to church. I'll tell you one thing, brother, sister, it ain't the same going to Walmart. It ain't the same as going here and there and the other. There's something about coming in the presence of the king. There's something about coming in more licks of that fire as it's gathered together and more of that aroma. Can you imagine in his presence this morning how these hundreds of people smell? Same.
Yes.
What'd you do? It proves he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't smell like Jezebel. You smell like the king's daughter. Now watch in verse 12, he says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. The loveliness and purity of the bride is now running parallel to a garden. Now I found this, and let me read this guy's name so you'll be able to remember it. It was a historian, Andromachus, which makes mention that there was a private garden in Jerusalem built by Solomon, which Solomon alone had access to. Now watch, he takes her, no doubt he's taken her there, and he takes her and says, you are my own personal garden. Hallelujah. Amen. I love gardens myself. I've seen them in different parts of the world. I ain't talking about your mater garden. Them things require too much work. The Garden of Eden wasn't a vegetable garden. It was a mixture of vegetables and fruits and flowers and plants and all of it together. Now, man's first home was not a house. Actually, sin brought the need of clothes. With the need of clothes brought the need of homes. Before sin, man never lived in a house. He lived in a state or a condition which required no home. There's no wind. There's no rain. There's no torrent. So you live in this paradise. Now watch Solomon as he's likening the bride, as he says, a garden enclosed is my sister. So here's an allusion then to a garden which is all mine. It's been so worked up. All these exotic plants and things have been placed in there. And you know that a garden itself is a very signification of election. We know that God created the earth, and the earth was a special planet out of all the rest of the planets in the universe. So the earth was a chosen planet, right? And then God chose a certain spot on the planet, which was up in the Mesopotamia Valley, near the land of Egypt, Babylon, and through there, through the Valley of Shinar. God chose that part of the earth to make the cradle of civilization. And the Garden of Eden was chosen in the end of Egypt. So we have election and predestination and choosing. And then in the east end of the Garden of Eden was the headquarters. So we have called out. So here he said, whenever you all plant a garden, if it's a vegetable garden or a flower garden, you don't plant it beside the road, do you? You don't go out in the middle of the road and dig up the asphalt and dig up all the rock and say, I'm going to plant me a garden right here. You're going to wind up in jail. That's right. That's where you're going to be. So you select a certain spot for a garden plot. You choose that spot because of whatever your requirements are. The full sun here is close to water. So you select that spot. Now you're going to tell me that you believe God's mean for selecting certain ones when you do the same thing. So you choose a certain spot according to your own choice, according to your purpose, and God has done exactly the same thing. Now Solomon is saying to her, look, my darling, you are considering yourself unworthy. You don't think yourself, how can I ever be with the king? I chose you. I selected you out of all the maidens. I could have had any woman I wanted around the world, but I wanted you. You are my garden. I selected you. And I enclosed you. You are for the king's use only. You are not your own. A garden enclosed is my sister. Look at the meaning of this word. Closed, bolted, barred, guarded from intrusion, and reserved for the king's enjoyment. My sister, my spouse, you are a beautiful garden. Really? I thought I was more like a dirt bag. I thought I was more like the dirt on the ground. Oh, that's your self-estimation, but you need to reevaluate yourself by my vision. By the way that I'm looking at you. So the church is enclosed. She is an enclosed garden. She is enclosed for distinction. She's enclosed for separation. She's enclosed for his divine approval and purpose, so that everybody and their brother cannot come trampling in. Now, can you imagine you go to all this labor and you go to all this difficulty and you're making this beautiful garden and you just leave it open for anybody and everybody to come through? People's going to come through and pluck flowers. Some's going to come through just for meanness and go in there and do this and that. Hedgehogs is going to get over on the side. Everything else, deer will come through and pick it up. So what do? You enclose this garden with certain requirements to keep some people in and keep some people out. Well, you see, this is where we have the problem in the day we're living in. Because people have a problem with our enclosure. They have a problem. And they consider our enclosure bondage, but we consider it a castle wall. We do not consider this enclosure that we are in. It is not a prison wall. It is not a bondage to us. It is our protection and safety. Well, your women can't do this and you all don't do that. That's what people get hung up on. You can't go here and you can't go there. It's not that we can't. It's that we don't want to. Why? Because everything we have need of is inside our enclosure. If we need food, it's here. If we need heating, it's here. We need deliverance, it's here. We're inside the enclosure. Ah. But it's also for our protection. I've used this example. Let me use it again. Well, the upper end subdivisions around here, I suppose, would be out there at the ridges where they got them big high-kafluting houses, and you hadn't be able to buy a membership to go play golf, and be able to, you know, roll around all out there on them golf carts. And I'd probably one of the premier places around here to be able to live. Where do you live? In the ridges. All right. But what if they didn't have any regulations in the ridges? And there's a lot available there somewhere. Somebody goes in, buys a lot, pulls in a single wide trailer, puts up woven wire fence behind it. He's got 2 goats, 3 cows, 3 sheep, 14 horses, and 35 young'uns. Now you imagine all them up dykes that live out yonder saying, "Welcome." There'd be for sale signs going up. Lord have mercy. By end of the morning, people wonder what in the world is going on. Some guy and some redneck moved a 12 to 60 trailer out there. Then they got $3 and $4 million houses. I mean, they're going up for sale, drastically reduced, the price greatly reduced. But don't come and look and see. You say, what are y'all trying to hide? Just don't buy it over the phone. Don't show it to them. The house itself is beautiful. But we've got this infidel, this unbeliever, this... So what do they do? Oh, there's a, well, I don't like it. How come we don't do that? That is for their protection. It's to protect their investment. Don't you understand why the Lord God has always had restrictions and walls? It is to protect his investment from eternity. It is there. He said, the Jews dress this way, act this way, talk this way. I want people when they see you and hear you, when they hear your music, I want them to know you're not like the world. When they hear you sing it, I want you to know, amen. Them to know you're not like the world, dressed different. This is for your protection. I am protecting my investment. That's why you drive down Carter County roads and you see a $750,000 house right here. In the redneck trailer I was talking about. With the ridges, the laws that kept him out over there, Carter County says, go ahead. That's the way the churches are today. They want everybody just all living together. All, we're all the same. Well, they may all be the same. I've got rules, restrictions, and regulations that I go by in my subdivision. My gated community that I'm going to later is only a miniature reflection right now in my life. You see, those who think they'll live in the one of them now in the wide open spaces of the church, that tells you a pretty good idea where they're going to live in heaven if they really make it. They are not going to live in the gated community of the city because they'll be very unwelcome because gates will be there to keep certain ones out. You see, even in eternity in the eighth day, people will come and go according to the dictate of the eternal one. They'll come in at the new moon and Sabbath and all that, but not you because you lived in a gated community down here. Amen. Rules and regulations don't bother you at all. So when you move after a while, guess what? You move to a bigger community with bigger gates. Amen. But it's under the control of the same king that controls your life now. There is freedom. There is freedom within the boundaries that God sets. Isn't there? It's only those who don't understand freedom. I couldn't do that. I couldn't live that way. You mean your preacher preaches against television? He preaches against a social drink, any drink at all, other than communion. About that big around, about that much. You mean y'all, what do y'all do for fun? Go to church. What do y'all do for excitement? Hear the word of God. What do y'all do? And don't you need a break away from church? To be honest with you, I'm looking for more reasons to have it. said, Brother Donnie, you're crazy. I know it, and so are you, just crazy in a different direction. But why? Because he is our joy. I don't have to get drunk. I've never took a drink of whiskey or drink in my entire life, but I've been drunk nearly every day of my life since I got the Holy Ghost. What joy do you have? I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. What do you do for fun? Study the Word, pray, talk in tongues, get anointed by the Holy Ghost, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and watch God heal them. Brother, there ain't no more better fun than the kingdom of God.
I heard the testimony a while ago about Brother Mark's calves coming in. When he stood right there at the altar the other day and prayed, the Holy Ghost took my mouth and spoke them words. I felt something drop right down on me. Lord God, you're the same one who spoke to the animals in the days of Noah. And you can speak to these calves to send them back home. You tell me what out yonder can produce such excitement. Tell me what out yonder can produce such life-giving thing as the Word of God. Brother Donnie, I'm a little concerned about you. Well, thank you for your concern. You are very strange. I know that. You see, I was sitting studying the other day for this. And I sent it to myself on my phone. While Carol and I was in the surgeon's office. And they took her away to x-ray her arm. I pulled out my phone. And I started reading these quotes and scriptures. I started having a personal revival. I started weeping. Carol come in, sat down, look at me, and the guy brings her back the tech and sets her down. She's looking at me, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just so excited for what God's going to do for us this week. I didn't have to go to a drug pen. I didn't have to go to a drug lord to buy. It didn't cost me $1,000 a hit, although I will need more. Because I am bad addicted to the Holy Ghost. I mean, I've got it bad. Do you shake, Brother Donnie, when you don't get it? No, I generally shake when I do get it. You have to have it. I've got to have it. Oh, I can't do like some of you folks. I ain't got a one-day religion. I ain't got to do one day out of the week. Sunday morning, some of y'all show up with all your good go-to-church clothes on. I can't handle that. I got to have a little dose of Jesus every day. Oh, I got to go to church. I got to be in the presence of God. Amen! I've got to be around the saints. I've got to sing. I've got to pray. I've got to shout a little bit every now and then because I love being in the presence of my King. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. So it sounds like that God formed him outside of the Garden of Eden. Now remember, Eden was like a state, and the Garden of Eden was like a city in the state or headquarters. So he actually wasn't formed in the Garden of Eden, but somewhere out of it. And then the Lord God brings him into the Garden of Eden. Now what for? To dress it and to keep it. There's no plowing. There's no tilling. There's no watering. There's no weeding. It's just to dress it and to keep it. Here he was in eternity. We can set this way and it breaks down into the loop of time. And he become an eternal person with God when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And yet God did not give him just a big recliner and he sat around 24/7 and didn't do anything. But he had this light tasks and duties. Oh, glory. So this was where God placed him. So he never broke a sweat. He never labored. He never pulled his back.
But it was very light type of work. More in the line of pleasure slash work.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Notice the prophet said the Holy Spirit brooded out of the earth and he kept brooding. As he cooed and brooded, I begin to see trees come up. Birds begin to fly from the earth. Animals begin to walk. And he kept cooing. Trees come up out of the earth. Birds, animals. And he kept cooing. And a man come up called Adam. Adam looked lonesome. So he made a byproduct from him and took a rib from his side. And made him a sweetheart, Eve. And he loved Adam. And he loved Eve. Amen. Again he says, Adam was lonesome, and God, to show that he could not be separated. And I'm going to get back to this, the same thing in a second. He never went and got dirt and made Eve. But he made from the original dirt, Adam. So the original dirt was Adam. And God made Eve double refined from the original dust. Lord God. He took a rib from his side and made him a helpmate. That was Eve. She was for the man and part of the man. She was part of him in the beginning, in the creation, in the theophany. Lord Jesus. Can't you see why I was crying at the doctor's office? You never started on any certain day. You can't take your origination back to time. She was part of him in the beginning, in the creation, in the theophany. King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. You were in him in theophanic form. In the form of theophany, when the Logos condescended from the great eternal and he started forming himself towards flesh, he made himself a theophany. You were there. Now watch, he's talking about Eve. Eve was part of Adam. In the theophany, my brother, sister, this is your mate. This is when you find that one and you step out of eternity together into a body called time, and one day you'll step right back. She was with you then. She was part of him down here in this creation. So he could not be divided in another creation. She had to be made in the same creation. So the Garden of Eden is now going to become an arena. Or a stage by which man's obedience or disobedience will be declared unto God. Notice, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it. The original word here, put into, is actually cause him to rest or dwell in the garden as a place of peace. So the appointed place of Adam's residence was a garden. So what was Eve? A garden in a garden. Glory. Glory. What will you be in eternity? A garden in a garden. Why would God have the prophets to say there'll be gardens and parks running down through the city? Why? Because you're being brought back to your original home. God never meant for us to live in industrial parks and trailer parks and all that sort of thing. That's what man has brought upon the earth. But God's design was for you to live in a garden paradise. So God made every tree that was pleasant and beautiful. The dinosaurs, of course, strolling through the paradise of God. The birds of paradise would fly through and they'd land up on his shoulder. And he would coo to him. And they would coo to him, rather. And he would answer them back. Notice in verse 16, the Lord God commanded. Uh-oh. God's first command. Watch what it involves now. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. With all God's commandments, friends, there comes restrictions and obligations, as well as blessings and responsibility. Here now we find the first time the word is used in the scripture. Commanded. Commanded. This is the Adamic covenant, as we refer to it. So now God gives the initial command. All earthly goods and pleasures were at Adam's disposal. Anything the man could long for, except a counterpart. Now let's visit him for a few moments. The Hebrew wording here in verse 16 states the command in strong terms that the man may freely eat of every tree except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, from the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God has now made Adam a king with a dominion. But a ruler can only rule others when he can learn to rule himself first. Preachers, whether young or old, who want to build kingdoms, who think they're the main guy, probably shouldn't be in the pulpit in the first place. This is a body move. God ain't God one certain preacher down in Trinidad, or one certain preacher over in California, or one certain preacher in Happy Valley, or wherever more, and all the bride's going to hear from him. That's a bunch of nonsense. God's got members ministry all over this world. And the church said, why? Because it is a body move. Adam is now going to prove to us by his disciplinary action that he cannot be trusted with speaking those names of the book of life into existence. Eve should have been my mother, not Betty Reagan. She should have been Isaiah's mother.
Right? You know, he said that in spoken words, original sin.
So God wants his creatures to love and obey him on their own free will. Don't you want to love God and serve him that way? So a covenant is a binding agreement between two parties. God did not ask Adam for his advice. God did not sit down and take counsel with Adam.
God gave him a simple command. Toil it, keep it, and dress it. That's what I want you to do. And don't partake of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day you do, you are going to die.
Now watch. Brother Rem says it this way. God made covenants with man. A man always breaks his covenant with God. So in the case of Abraham, God made the covenant with himself and Abraham unconditionally. You know, he said to Adam in the Adamic covenant, if you'll not do this, if you'll do that, Adam turned right around and broke it. How many of us would be saved here today if we had to keep every word, every commandment, every promise that we've ever made to God? I'd have to be the first one to leave the pulpit. Brother Donnie, you broke your word? Sure I have. I'm a mortal like you are. Oh, but I can't have a pastor that's, oh, well, I'm sorry, you'll never have a pastor then. Oh, I can't have deacons. I must have a perfect deacon. Why would you want a perfect deacon when you're imperfect yourself? So what did God do? God made it unconditional, knowing the frailty and the weakness of human flesh. Notice again in Jehovah Jireh, he says, I want you to notice then when he made his first covenant, the Adam covenant, the Adamic covenant, it was made between him and Adam, and man turned right around and broke the covenant. Every time man makes a covenant with God, he breaks it. But now God has purpose. He's going to reflect himself in this greatness. Watch Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. To make him sensible of his needs, God first lets something happen, though. He lets him name the animals. Notice this now. God said it's not good that the man should be alone. But then God doesn't act immediately. God said a man, he's not himself quite by being this way. Now he was in a precarious situation. There's Elohim above him. There's all the animal creatures below him. Now he can fellowship with Elohim, but he's not of his own kind. in the sense of understanding and fellowship. He could go out and rub the animals and pet the animals and maybe talk to them, but they could not talk back. They could not fellowship. So here is the man in the middle that needs someone in the middle that's like him. Because God, here's God above him, and here's the animals beneath him, and God looks at him and said, here's the middle man with no one to fellowship with. Yet he's an individual. He needs a mate. He needs a consort, a queen. He needs someone to be able to love, someone to relate to. I made him social. I made him where he would have the need to socialize, but there's no one there in his society but himself. So the middleman needed a wife. I will make him a helpmeet or a counterpart like himself. One who may reciprocate his feelings and talk and be able to use their eyes. The animal's eyes can look at you, but you can tell from the animal's eyes that they can't relate the way you can. You know how we are as humans. We can say a lot of things with our eyes. You watch one of your young ones, you go out after church, and then they go getting real mean at the table, and you draw them eyes down on them. You don't have to say one thing. Your eyes spoke volumes. And my mom and daddy dropped them mom and daddy eyes down on me. You better believe this boy straightened them. And when my mama said Donald Lee Reagan Jr., I knew by the sound of that name I was in trouble. My formal name only brought persecution. Amen. And affliction. Amen. She never called me Donald Lee Reagan Jr. when everything was all right. It was Donnie. But whenever my name was called in that way, it was a sign to me I better straighten up. Amen. It's the same with our eyes. The animal's eyes could look at Adam. He could feel nothing. But no matter how great they were, but God said he needs someone that he can look in their eyes. He needs someone that he can look at their lips. And how does their lips drop money?
Glory. Praise the Lord.
Watch this. The prophet says, you woman that take another man in your arm, you marred that mole that you were taken from. Remember that. You act like a man like that, you're out of your place. And when a man begins to get sissy too and babying this and that and the other, he's out of his place. He's a boss. He's a ruler. Now, I don't mean a floor mat. I said a ruler, a helpmate, not to kick women around. But the Bible said, God in the creation, you shall rule over her. Be a boss. Be a helpmate. Part of you. He's sweet and kind and tender. You should lead her around sweetly. You should lead her around sweetly because she's part of you. You go to mistreating her, then you're mistreating yourself. And a man mentally right won't do that. So you know what's wrong with men whenever they hit their wives and beat them? They're mentally disturbed. Oh, I got the mind of Christ. You can't have the mind of Christ hitting your wife. Praise the Lord. Well, don't get quiet on me now, Happy Valley. That's right. Notice again, question answers. A man's not supposed to use his authority over a woman just because he's her ruler. God is her ruler above you, brother. And if your wife is doing something wrong, then go right to her and tell her and supposed to listen to you. But you haven't got no right to beat her or drag her around or do those things. No, sir. You see, God made man a helpmate, not a doormat. Remember, she was your sweetheart. She should always be that. Well, glory. Notice now verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. Now God has said it's not good for the man to be alone. But instead of giving the man a wife, God brings animals to him. Of the lower creation. And says, now study them and name them. What's that got to do with me being lonely? Because when you get done, you'll realize how much you need what I'm fixing to give you. Because God brought them male and his female. So here's a male camel and a female. A male elephant, a female. A male dog, a male cat. On and on and on and on. And Adam named them and gave them their names. And that's what the Lord God called them. So you imagine when he got all done with it? He said, Father, I noticed everything I named. There was two of them. Except for me. Why am I alone? Lord God, his powers of perception and intelligence being supernaturally charged by the presence of God. And God let those names absolutely carry until the confusion of languages that would happen hundreds of years later. Then after that, people begin to rename them and give them a different name than what they were the original. But his names that he chose to call them lasted for decades, or for probably centuries, even going on and on. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet. So he goes through this process of thousands and thousands of couples of animals.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
So the earth has been searched now. There was no counterpart. The lonely man. Nobly born. Sprang from the soil, but divinely birthed. Attributed from the very attributes of God, yet an empty feeling that even Elohim could not satisfy. Fashioned from the dust, yet inspired by Jehovah. Allied to beast, yet spaced apart from deity. Where does he fit? He's truly the middleman. But God, of course, is only going to let this last for a bit. Bereft of this feeling of satisfaction and desire, God. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The God man. Listen to this, and I'll close. Dr. Elton Stubblefield, famed medical doctor conducting research in the mysteries of the DNA, says the rib is the only portion of the human body that carries within it every type, of which there are several, of cells to be found in the human body. And theoretically, it is absolutely possible to clone an entire human being from a single rib. While the animals were produced in swarms, or as the fishes, as in pairs, the animals in pairs, and the fishes and the birds as in swarms and schools, man was made as an individual. But because she had her identity in the original creation of theophany, her husband must pack her to the earth. You daughters of God, wait till you find that man of God, if that servant of God. If you don't, you'll have hell on earth with some other man that ain't supposed to be yours. The prophet of God said, you're brought on the earth by that son of God. Is that what he said? Notice, let me close. God, when he made man, he made him a dual person, both male and female. He separated him in the flesh and put him on the earth in flesh. And the female part was still in spirit. Look, friends, God was so careful. Oh, don't let this leave you. God never got a handful of dust and made Eve. She'd been a different creation. She's not a creation.
She's a byproduct. Y'all understand byproducts, don't you? When you get out and crank your vehicle after church, most of you, it's going to run on gasoline. But you don't pump gasoline out of the earth. What is gasoline? A byproduct of crude oil. Isn't it amazing? So is this bottle. A byproduct of crude oil. So are many of the chemicals, your hairspray, your comb, the rubber on your shoes. Many, many things are a byproduct of crude oil. What's the difference? The church, I mean, the processing place they go through. Amen! Some of that crude oil goes, oh hallelujah, to Exxon and Shell, and it don't come out a pair of sole of shoes for you. It don't come out a comb for you to comb your hair. But what's it come out? Gas to power you, to drive you back and forth to church, and to take your family out to eat. It's the same way with the word. Many churches around the Tri-Cities have heard this portion of the word, and that portion of the word, and that portion of the word today. What will it produce? It won't even produce enough rubber to meet the road to live a godly life. It'll produce a worldly this and that and the other. But what's God producing for you? Rocket fuel. Oh, hallelujah. I don't need a comb to see how pretty I am. I need more than soles on the bottom of my shoe. I need rocket fuel to get out of this world. What's going to produce it? The word of God put through the processing plant of Malachi 4. Amen. It's being refined with prophetic understanding. We're fixing to head out here after a while, friends. Let me finish this quote. They are perfect oneness. A real woman and a real husband, a real wife. They are one together. What is it a type of? Christ. For out of his bosom. Not a byproduct. Brother Bram now is talking about when a man takes a woman into his imprint. She makes that imprint on him. Then he said if he goes out and runs with other women, he's put a woman in that imprint that will not work. Now watch him how he parallels it to Christ. For out of his bosom, not a byproduct, not a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal hatch-up, but out of his own heart, he took the sweetheart. Can't you see where you come from? The very bosom of God. So for me and you to try to handpick the bride, don't do that. Let God pick the bride. And what will it do? It'll go right into the print. And whenever the bride fits right in there, she'll be perfect. I mean, maybe some of you men have the idea of a tall woman. And some of you want a woman 7'6". To me, I would find that strange. Every time I walked up and hugged her belly button, and just... Or maybe you'd want one that tall. Oh, Lord. I ain't even going to try that. He don't want a church that's run by a board. And we don't believe in this and we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that. He wants one that fits right into his embrace. Listen to this. Out of his heart he took the sweetheart that's as pure and loyal she can be. She's as loyal as a lily. Look back there. Solomon speaking. Come, my love. Let us walk in the pomegranates. Let's take our fill of love. When the believer opens his arms with a pure heart and holds to Christ, that affection of that lover of Christ goes into his bosom as his wife, just like the husband does to the real wife. Let's sing Come Away, Harry. I love this song. Won't you come away, my love? It's always been special to me since I first heard it. I must say, it became a little bit more special to me after a week or so ago. Because as we were standing here singing it on Sunday morning, right when we come close to the end of the service singing, Come Away, My Love, Sister Linda Kennedy, which had been battling cancer. They've been able to get the service by computer into the living room where she was. And as we sing this, "Come Away, My Love," the angel of God come down and carried her out. Praise God. Mama. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Come away, Linda. Come away. No more cancer. No more sickness. No more mortality." And there, while we were singing, "Come away, my love," he was singing over her, "Come away, my love." Praise God. Oh, you imagine, he cannot wait until globally, internationally, he'll be able to say to his sweetheart, "Come away, my love. Your mouth speaks the great words of joy and praise. Your cheeks are as the pomegranates. Your hair, your this and that and the other. My darling, I just can't live another day without you. Come away. Come away." And oh no, we're not going to the sixth dimension where Sister Linda went. We're going to the seventh.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. I don't know about you, but until that time arrives, I want to spend every day in my wedding night with my King. I'll fail him, I know that already. I'll make so many mistakes along the way. But if he can love me in spite of that, let me be as the woman last night. Let me feel that pulsation and that call to give to him what I don't even understand. The key to it, my friends, is being able to break into a glimpse of the value of what it means to him, not us. Then we give more because of the value that's placed upon it. Not out of works, and I need to pray more. I need to do this. I need to do that. Don't do it that way. Do it. But Lord, this means so much to you. I want to give you this. And more, and more, and more. So you get along with God, and you pull him, and he pulls you, and he just goes like this. It just, perfect. Perfect. You are my counterpart. All creation was searched. All of heaven was searched. I couldn't find a bride that would fit me. So I decided I'd make one. He's God. He can do that.
Amen.
That's amazing to me. Here I am, my makeup, my peculiarities, my oddities, and you with yours, and people in Korea, and people in, you know, Myanmar, and people in South Africa, and all over the world. And yet individually, he can pull us right up to him, and every one of us fit.
Hallelujah.
And yet collectively, the rapture is the collective movement of all the bride coming. You know, imagine what it's going to be, Brother Dave, when we're all gathered there together, and there he is, and we see him. Oh, praise be to God. We're finally able to enter into that spot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it together, shall we? Don't you love him with all your heart? Let me read you this verse of Scripture first. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Of the three elements that God took from the body of Christ, made he a woman. And the rapture will be him bringing the woman to the man. And he will be able to look at her and say, "You are my counterpart. You are my victory. Woman. You are woman. Or man with a womb." I cloned you. You are me. Because I became you. Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing, Harry, I don't think I can. Let's just worship him a little bit now. Just let's just close our eyes and move into his presence for a few moments before I let you go. Think of who's invited you into his court. Not David, not Solomon. Jesus, the King of Kings. Why don't you talk to him? Why don't you let precious words flow from your mouth like honey? Let it drop out of your lips, praise and love and adoration. Amen. Lord God, I bless your name. Lord Jesus.
Come away.
Or
I could give you my name.
Hallelujah.
Eternity awaits us.
Thank you, Lord.
Come away.
Hallelujah. Everybody now.
Could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day. I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day when I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away. Dressed in linen, the banquet is prepared. A host of angels gather for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the broom begins to say, come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day when I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. I loved you from creation. before you came to me. I carried my lover with me all the way to Calvary. And though it wasn't over when they laid me in the tomb, I proved my love would never die when I rose again for you. I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, come, my love. When I could give to you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go over to the fellowship hall to pray for a sister over there. Brother Louis, maybe you can come and lead the congregation in singing. A couple of your ministry brothers, if you'd like to go with me, we'll go over and pray for a sister. Let's just worship God. I'll be right back.
Justin put Wasn't That Love. Let's see, Brother Louie.
In the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? For me, he knew pain and loneliness as he wore the robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? As he stood in Pilate's hall, he never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? The mob yelled crucified, but he knew that he had to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love?
Wasn't that love? What saved you, love? What healed you, love? What's give you the Holy Ghost, love?
As he lay there in that tomb,
yes, Lord,
he did
God.
Just what he came to do.
Oh, bless.
wasn't that the love? Oh, wasn't that the love? Oh, but he rose up from the grave.
Hallelujah.
So I can rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love?
Hold on, sing it, church.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Communion this Saturday night. God bless you. I love you in the Lord.
As we're dismissed today, I'm so glad I've been found. How about you? Are you glad he found you? Let's sing a little bit of that, Brother Harry, Brother Larry. If you will. Yes, I'm so glad he found me. In love he found me. Put his arms around me, and he led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own,
and oh, the joy of knowing with hearts all glowing. Someday I'm going
up to my home. My home in glory. To walk on streets paved with gold.